Welcome back, everyone, to this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, episode number 16 from May the 16th of 1992. Doc, what's going on, man? How you doing this week?
Man, we really got to do another review show.
Well, don't get upset. Come on, man. Don't be salty from the start. I don't know if this is a review show as much as it is a look forward show. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's okay, we're at the Volunteer Slam. This is a preview in the road to Knoxville. So this is a recap show of how we got to where we are with the upcoming Volunteer Slam. But it's also a bunch of promos as the Smoky Mountain talents are doing their best to talk people into the building that we always talk about that no longer happens anymore. So this episode aired on May 16th, like I said, of 1992, which is a little less than a week from the May 22nd, 1992 Volunteer Slam. So the talent is looking forward to putting the asses in the seats, Doc. I mean, yeah, it's a review show, but it's also more of a look forward show, if you ask me. And I must add, this is the first episode that we've actually recorded of Smoky Mountain since we talked to former Smoky Mountain wrestling champion Bobby Blaze. So if you haven't done so, check out our BTT flagship show and parts 1 and 2 with Bobby Blaze that aired on November 24th and December 1st of 2016. So, Doc, does that make you feel a little bit better that we're reviewing, but we're also previewing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. But Bobby Blaze was great, though. I really enjoyed him. I hope he comes back on sometime to give us some more stories. And he was a real entertaining guy. And again, thanks to Bobby Blaze for being a part of the BTT Army. You know what happens when all these guys get on the BTT show is that real soon afterwards, they win a strap. So I think Bobby Blaze probably needs to unretire and get in a federation somewhere because they'll probably put the strap on him since he's been on our show.
I don't know. Bobby's been retired for a while now, so who knows. All right, Doc. So let's kind of jump into this thing. This is, like I said, it's a recap show to some extent, but it's also a look forward show, like I was saying. So before we jump into this, do you have any thoughts you want to share just in general? I know you said you're a little upset, but, you know, don't be so negative. I mean, you got anything else you want to talk about before we jump into the episode?
No, man, I'm ready to get to this slam. I'm ready to award a heavyweight title. I'm ready to get some belts going. I'm ready for some championships.
All that Hammond, did you have a cock in your throat last night or something? I'm really confused here.
Bro, it's rough down here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We're in winter time and it's starting to get wintered up, and it's just, you know, you go to work and there's people that come to work sick, and bruh, they spread their germs around. They don't stay home. When they get to work, they don't, you know, when you sneeze or cough, you're supposed to do it in like the bend of your arm so it doesn't spread the germs. We're fighting a lot right now. I am fighting through a lot to be here today for our fans. They all appreciate it.
Don't get me started on people bringing sicknesses to work. That's all I want to say. All right, let's get started. Let's kick things off. So, like I said, it's a recap, review, but look forward show. So, the opening segment is Jim Cornette and Phil Rainey. Most of you will remember Rainey from the hotel where the ring rats were serviced, the Nooner, in the Smoky Mountain area. And Rainey and Cornette, they set the agenda for this week's show with a bracket of who is fighting who in the Volunteer Slam, which, to recap, first round action will be Robert Gibson versus Jimmy Golden, Paul Orndorff versus Tim Horner, Buddy Landell versus Primetime Brian Lee, the Dirty White Boy versus Dixie Dynamite in your first round action. Cornette tells us we're going to be looking back at how some of these competitors got here and see what they have to say and how they expect to win at the Volunteer Slam. Doc, anything before I move forward?
I like the fact that they're on site, they're on location. It gives it a big feel like we're going to go check out the site where this is all going to go down. It's a big arena. It's a different feel than some of the places that they've been running on the TV. So sets a good tone that this is a big event.
I agree. Well, and in the next segment, they begin the look back at the 8 competitors that will be competing. Cornette runs through a bunch of names that have competed at this great venue, which include our favorite legend at this point in time, Ron Wright, Ron Fuller, and many more. So let's give a quick listen to Jim Cornette's promo, and then just let me know what you think about this, Doc. It's a real quick one, though.
Fans, we're inside the Knoxville Coliseum. We're ready to take a look at some of the 8 competitors involved in Friday night's Volunteer Slam Heavyweight Championship Tournament.
And I'll tell you something, Phil Rainey, doesn't it send chills and shivers down your spine to be here in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, the site of so many great matches? All the great wrestlers have been through here. From Ron Wright and Whitey Caldwell on to Ron and Robert Fuller, Bob Armstrong, the Briscoes, the Funks, the Mongolian Stomper, Ronnie Garvin. It's a historic building. And the guy who wins that tournament Friday night is going to have some mighty big shoes to fill, because he's going to step up there with the great ones. And this is the prize right here. The Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Championship belt, signifying the best wrestler in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Whoever gets this is going to have to do a whole lot of fighting, a whole lot of scratching, and a whole lot of deep down searching his guts to find out just exactly how tough he really is. This is the prize Friday night. It's going to have to be a bad son of a gun that goes and gets it. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, so that's Cornette's promo. Doc, just a quick reaction to it. What'd you think about Cornette? And he's holding up the belt, and he's, you know, this is the first step of them trying to talk people into the building.
Yeah, I like the fact that they are showing the people the prize, the trophy, the belt. Corny's really doing a double time on telling you how important it is, how hard it's going to be, really positioning the belt as something that's important. Yeah, what a novel concept.
Right, back when belts mattered, right? Didn't we try to get a hashtag started on the BTT show, All Belts Matter? It didn't quite off, but whatever.
That was back when I still watched the WWE.
Yeah, I agree. So we go to Cornette and Rainey. I'm sorry. Cornette and Rainey are there, and Rainey throws us over to Dixie Dynamite. After Cornette cuts that good promo, Phil Rainey throws us to how Dixie Dynamite got to the Volunteer Slam when he won his, I believe it was a wild card matchup against Carl Styles in their match. Now, Dixie Dynamite does cut a promo before what I'm about to say, which is a recap of Joey Maggs facing the Dirty White Boy when Dirty White Boy gets pinfall with the Bucksnort Blaster over Joey Maggs. So first thing we're going to do here is we're going to play the Dixie Dynamite promo, and then we're going to play the Dirty White Boy promo. And then, Doc, I want your thoughts on Dixie Dynamite and your thoughts on the Dirty White Boy, and if they are talking you into the building for the Volunteer Slam, if you are a ticket buyer at that point in time. Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
This coming Friday night, Knoxville Coliseum. This Friday, we're talking about Double D coming to you all the way live in the first round of the Volunteer Slam Tournament. And who do I have? None other than the DWB Dirty White Boy with Rotten Ron Wright. I'll be coming to you, boys, and I'll tell you what. If all my little firecrackers are behind me that evening, then I'll tell you Double D's going to come out on top, and the South will rise again.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me get to the Dirty White Boy one.
Whoa, Daddy, this Friday night, I can't wait. It's the 22nd. It's coming down in K-Town. One of the biggest things that's ever happened in a long time, and I'm talking about the Volunteer Slam. Now, you people are probably wondering, where's my sweet manager, Ron Wright? Well, he checked himself in to a home because he wants to get plenty of rest for this Friday night. And it, you know, I'm just getting so excited. I don't know what to do with myself because, Dixie Dynamite, you made the misfortune of getting me the first round. Now, you got a real fancy karate kick. Well, brother, I've been hit in the face with chains, brass knuckles, chairs, and I'm still standing. And it don't matter if it's Tim Horner or that big mule head primetime Brian Lee. It don't matter who it is, boys, because when you walk that aisle and the final bell rings, you're going to look at the man that you're going to call the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion. And there's nothing you can do about it.
All right, Doc. So, your thoughts on Dixie Dynamite and the Dirty White Boy here?
Well, Dixie keeps calling himself Double D. Doc likes a different kind of Double D's, if you know what I mean. Double D. Dixie Dynamite tells us the South will rise again. I'm not a huge fan. Dirty White Boy, man, he's got Ron Wright, our good friend Ron Wright, in the home to rest up for the slam. That's awful nice of him. And we got a good solid heel promo, and I'm starting to think that Dirty White Boy may be coming out of the slam with a strap.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe that, you know, he's one of the better promos at this point too. So it's looking kind of promising, but you know, we'll see what happens. So, Dixie Dynamite, let me say this about Dixie Dynamite's promo. It's comical. And I don't mean that in a bad way, in a disrespectful way, but when he starts talking about his little firecrackers, it kind of cracks me up. And, in the South will rise again. Yeah, it's kind of comical. It's cheesy, but hey man, it's still more entertaining than most stuff I see these days. So, we go to the next segment, which is a Bob Caudle promo. This is a repeat of the Beckley West Virginia promo where Primetime Brian Lee thanks Bullet Bob for being a ref for his upcoming match. I think this is the third time that this one has played, so I won't recap it in lengthy details, and I may put it at the end of the episode, but it's a recap. It might even be the third time they've shown it at this point, so we'll move forward. We then go back to Cornette and Phil Rainey. Phil Rainey doesn't say much as he throws it to the match with Buddy Landell and Danny Davis, which Buddy wins to earn his spot in the tournament. And then we get the Buddy Landell promo, which I'm going to play right now, and then Doc will give our thoughts on it, okay?
All right.
You know it must be a crying shame Brian Lee grows up a loser, hangs out with Sawyer Brown, a bunch of other kind of losers. Brian, let me explain something to you, pal. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling. This ain't like those other organizations you've wrestled for where you go around going, oh, you can't hit me that hard. Daddy said sell. Daddy said sell. Or you walk around with extra thick knee pads on like this. You got to fight your way to the top here. See what I'm talking about? So this Friday night, pal, the Volunteer Jam, Knoxville, Tennessee, the Nature Boy's going to pull your eyes out and whistle through your skull. Let me explain something to you. They got some couple of chairs hanging out for you and Sawyer Brown with your names on them called Lazy Boy. You walk into your house and you say, well, I should have, I could have, I would have, but the bottom line is you didn't, and they never did, and then you're sitting there in that Lazy Boy, and then you stick it on down into Loser, and that's where you're going to be for the rest of your life. This is the Nature Boy Buddy Landell talking to you, son. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, where the tough guys get the breaks.
Doc. Give me your thoughts on the Nature Boy Buddy Landell's promo right there.
Well, first of all, that was some good. Buddy Landell knocked that one out of the park, in my opinion. We had one a couple weeks ago, I think, that wasn't so great. That one was really good. do you know who Sawyer Brown was?
No, I don't, but I just thought it was funny. I don't know who it is, though.
Well, Sawyer Brown was sort of a late 80s, early 90s kind of country music act. It's not a person. It's a country music act. It's a band. And they had some hits, and they were kind of, you know, big at, you know, or I guess still big. I don't know. But, yeah, that's who he's talking about there. So he's mentioning something to the people that a comparison that they'd probably know. Boy, Landell was shooting on some other organizations, and then he told Primetime he was going to pull out his eyes and whistle through his skull. So that and, you know, slipping that Lazy Boy down into loser position. Buddy, we had it going on that promo.
I came unglued on that one when he said, and then you stick back in that Lazy Boy and throw that sucker in the loser position. That was really good. And the thing about it was, what doesn't come through when you're listening to it just now is the mannerism in which he did it. He actually literally goes sideways, leans back, hits it like he's driving a stick shift car, drops it back into Loserville. And I thought that was great. So I really enjoyed Buddy Landell's promo right there. It was some good stuff. Let me ask this, Doc. Is he talking you into the building when he cuts that promo?
He's doing it better than anybody else so far.
Yeah, I agree. This promo is then followed by Cornette and Rainey with a few comments. Cornette says that Landell is one of his favorites going into the tournament, and that Landell recently disowned Knoxville and now lives in Florida. He's going up against Primetime Brian Lee in the tournament, and Cornette calls Primetime Brian Lee one of my favorite comments, which I've heard, I believe, Dutch Mantel say this before in a previous episode. He calls Primetime Brian Lee a fair-headed boy, which I love that line. Rainey then throws it to a video montage of Primetime Brian Lee showing him hitting some of his moves on various talents throughout many of his matches in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And when you watch this video montage, as we're into episode 17 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you realize, God, this guy's been he's probably had more matches in Smoky Mountain televised than any other talent to date. Would you agree with that, Doc?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, he's just had a ton of matches. It's kind of crazy when you look back at this video montage. So, all right, I'll play the primetime Brian Lee promo, and then Doc and I will give our thoughts on it at this point after it's done.
20-second volunteer slam, Buddy Landell. You can count on one thing, primetime Brian Lee will be ready, and I will be there. 6'8", 280 pounds in your face all night. Now I'm going to take a second to give credit where credit's due. You do come out here and run your chops real good, but let's see how good you wrestle in Knoxville. Volunteer slam, primetime, I'm coming.
All right. Doc, thoughts on primetime Brian Lee's quick, short promo?
Well, he kept it short, so that's always good for him.
Yep.
And he didn't sway this time, so good for him. Or maybe he was more confident with the mic. Did he grow a couple inches? Did he say he was 6'8" there?
He does that a lot. He said 6'6", he said 6'7", he said 6'8", and his weight seems to fluctuate between 275 and 285 from what I gather.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, that makes more sense. You might lift or diet and lose a few pounds, but it's pretty hard to fluctuate height.
Unless you get old and start shrinking, right? Because that's been medically proven. You're the doctor of the two of us. So, but anyway, I'm not gonna sit there and say primetime Brian Lee talked me into the building right there. But I will say it was a good promo. I mean, it was short, and I like that about it. As the promo ends, before we go to the next segment, Phil Rainey says, after we see this primetime Brian Lee in his promo, Cornette says with a shit eating grin, "Primetime Brian Lee ain't got a chance," which I liked. I kept it off. Cornette always with a good zinger or two. Okay, Doc. We go to, I guess you can call it a segment. It's the executive director of the Knoxville Coliseum. I'm not going to play this, but...
Thank you.
I'll call it a promo, and boy, let me tell you, this guy could put a dead man with no pulse to sleep.
Man, I was just thinking that maybe he said... Hey, I got an idea. I'll give you a good deal on the building rental if you let me talk on TV and be a big guy.
It was pretty brutal. Whatever. I mean, it was short. I mean, so I can't get. And look, the guy's not in the wrestling business, so he's not being paid to cut promos. You know what I'm saying?
And this was 25 years ago. He's probably dead now.
Well, okay. I don't know how to react to that. Okay, next segment, we back to Cornette and Rainey. And Cornette and Rainey are at the ticket window of the Knoxville Coliseum. Cornette is yelling at the ticket agent that he needs a front row seat for Mama Cornette. Unfortunately, the ticket lady says that they're sold out. Cornette really isn't happy with this. They get back. I mean, he's really pissed because, you know, he can't get a ticket for his mama. They get back to business, and Rainey says, "Not only are we crowning the first Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight champ, but the first defense of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling tag titles are on the line with the Heavenly Bodies versus the Party Patrol, Johnny and Davey Rich." Cornette claims that Jackie Fulton's knee injury was an accident, and that's why they're facing the Riches. They throw it into the match where Fulton got hurt, and when the Heavenly Bodies won the tag straps, if you recall from, was that last week? Shit, I can't even remember at this point.
A while ago.
Yeah, they also show the promo where Bullet Bob tells us that Jackie is injured and will be out for a while. He also again declares that the Heavenly Bodies, Bullet Bob is, declares that the Heavenly Bodies are the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champs. This is when Bobby Fulton also says when his brother is recovered that they'll get back at Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. I mention all of this because we discovered after recording episode 15 that the reason they did the injury angle is because Bobby and Jackie had commitments in Japan that they had to adhere to. You and I were kind of speculating at that point saying, hey, we needed to talk to Cornette, but I had a listener of ours, Martin Howell, sent me a clipping, I believe it was. I think it was him. I can't even remember who sent it to me, that they were headed to Japan, and that's why they did the injury angle, and that's why the Fantastics did not face the Heavenly Bodies at the Volunteer Slam. Rainey and Cornette are back recapping Jackie's injury. Now Cornette shits on the injury and says it's a partial tear and that they were going for a full tear of it, which I thought was pretty brilliant. Then Cornette turns his attention to Johnny and Davey Rich. He tells them that they won't be called the Party Patrol after this match and that they're going to be calling the Highway Patrol to come get them. I assume what Corny meant was they're going to be calling the Highway Patrol to come scrape you off the the highway. Was that how you took it, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me cue it up, and we'll play that segment real quick. So here's the promo that Cornette cuts.
He's going to be out for about 4 to 5, maybe possibly 6 weeks. And you heard Bobby Fulton say that he's not going to return until Jackie is well enough to get in the ring.
Well, that just breaks my heart not to get to see Bobby Fulton around here. You know, let me just correct you about one thing. It's not a ligament tear. It's a partial ligament tear. A full ligament tear would have been a whole lot worse. Better to break your leg than have a full anterior cruciate ligament tear. That's what we were going for. Unfortunately, we didn't quite succeed. But Fantastics, I promise you this, if you have the guts, which I doubt, to come back in the ring in Smoky Mountain Wrestling and face the heavenly bodies, the Gangster of Love and the Doctor of Desire, Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, then you're going to get worse the next time. Now, as for Friday night, the Party Patrol, Johnny and Davey Rich, they're the first ones to get in line, challenge the new tag team champions. Well, I got news for you, Johnny and Davey Rich. After this match, they're not going to call you the Party Patrol. They're going to be calling the Highway Patrol, because it's going to look like a wreck on Interstate 75 when we get finished with you. You don't seem to understand. Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, and Jim Cornette don't play games. The Fantastics have had that point driven home, and driven home very successfully, I might add. And now Johnny and Davey Rich, all the people in East Tennessee think you're hot, and all these corn-fed farm women, they think you're great. The Party Patrol, I guess everybody wants to play Hank Williams Jr. and dance and drink some beer for about $1.95 a six-pack and make a big deal. Well, let me tell you something. We party just a little bit differently. We party by taking rednecks and slapping them around and putting them in their place, and we party by taking those corn-fed women that you got running around with you. We take them and we turn them out in the street where they belong, because they are not going to touch the heavenly bodies. Friday night at the Volunteer Slam, brother, we're going to be stronger. Just a little longer.
Okay, Doc. Cornette cuts a great one, does he not?
Yeah, he's working overtime trying to talk him in the building. That audio was cutting out pretty bad for me, but I hope the listeners can hear it. But, you know, there's a couple of things there. He talks about they party by taking rednecks and slapping them around, putting them in their place. At the end, he starts talking about putting women in the street, so I didn't know if he was saying that they're pimps. I don't know. I felt like that was kind of weird. And also I wondered, this is more than the first time that we've heard about wrecks out on Interstate 75 in Tennessee. I just wonder if they had like a problem just with really bad wrecks out on Highway 75. I don't know.
Dutch had made a comment about that before too, right? You're talking about the Highway 75.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It does, like, when you think about it, it seems like, wow, was there something going on that we didn't know about, right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So I just thought Cornette threw it in overdrive, like you said, and he just ripped it. He hit it out of the park with that one, talking him into the building. You know, talking about that's back when you could still be a heel's heel, I guess you can say, when he said we were going – they said it's a partial tear. We were going for a full tear. I mean, that's just when you could be a heel. Nowadays, you say shit, you offend somebody. I mean, it's like they can't – you know, we give WWE a lot of shit regarding their, you know, terrible script writing promos, but you know, part of it too is they can't say anything half the time because, you know, you're gonna fucking offend someone, and it's just, I don't know, man. It was a different world.
A lot of pussies out there in the world.
There's a lot, man, and you know, I should stop for a second because I want to say this. If we ever offend anyone on our shows, trust me, there's no intention to offend you. We're a fucking podcast. We're just trying to have fun. So hopefully, you know, no, not that many people get offended. I don't get many messages. But for those that do, there's no harm intended. We're trying to have fun. It's fun. We love covering Smoky Mountain. It's the greatest fucking promotion that most people may not have heard of because of its, I guess you'd call it, reach that it got during the 90s. So we're trying to have some fun with it. So here we go. Cornette and Rainey on the next segment. Well, Doc, did you have anything else on that segment before I move forward?
No, I'm good.
Okay, cool. So Cornette and Rainey. Quickly throw it to Robert Gibson, who's facing Joe Kazana, and Gibson gets that pinfall during the match replay that we see here, and then we get a Gibson promo going into the Volunteer Slam. It is a very quick promo. We also get a Jimmy Golden promo. Jimmy Golden's outfit, it just cannot
Hold on. You said it's a short promo by Gibson, but I had like, Jesus Christ, what's he talking about?
Well, I'm gonna play it in a second. You want me to play it real quick, and then we'll play Jimmy Golden's too.
Yeah, because I want you to play it because I want pay if you're out there listening. listen to Gibson real quick, because this is what I think he does to prepare for interviews. So see if you agree with me. So play it, and I'll see if you think that's what this sounds like.
Okay.
You know, Jimmy, God, my wish came true because right here on Friday night, this Friday night at Volunteer Slam, it's going to be me and you, Sonny Boy. I told the whole world that I'm going to beat you, Jimmy, God, right there in Volunteer Slam. I'm going to beat you because you run a tough shot on everybody else, but not on me, boy. I'm undefeated here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Let me tell you something, boy. Rock and roll is going to keep going.
Okay. Well, I take it you didn't like that too much. I'm listening, Doc. What's up?
He sounds like he eats like 5 saltine crackers with a dry mouth and then tries to do an Elvis impersonation.
Man, let me ask you a question, because it's been a while since we were obviously kids when we watched the Rock and Roll. Was when you were younger, did you find that Gibson was a bad promo?
I don't know. I didn't see them as much when I was a kid as I probably have later on, so I don't know.
So besides,
you know, the greatest exposure I've had to them in their career has probably been watching Smoky Mountain, because when Ricky gets here and it starts firing up, I mean, they're going to be all over this shit. I'm afraid of what's going to happen with Mullet of Morton and I Gibson when this shit really gets rolling. Those two are going to be walking around their local strip malls acting like big men. And I'm really afraid that Mullet of Morton might end up in the ER somewhere after an 8-ball binge. So, but I mean, when they get together, especially in Smoky Mountain, they're smart enough to have Morton do all the talking. So,
well, I asked that question about Gibson because I really, as I'm thinking back now, because throughout my, I guess, you know, childhood watching wrestling, whether it was Mid-South or the NWA, I don't recall lots of Robert Gibson talking. I recall it always being Ricky. And you got to remember, you know, you just said you've seen more rock and roll in Smoky Mountain. That's kind of weird to me because, you know, they came up, well, not came up, but they were in my home promotion. And then I got to watch him in NWA. So in hindsight, I'm really trying to remember how much of Robert Gibson's promos I've seen over the years. And I don't know if it was really many. Ricky always seemed to be doing the talking, and I just could be misremembering. So if anybody out there is an NWA fan and a Mid-South fan, remind me, did Robert do a lot of talking in Mid-South in the NWA? Because I just don't remember.
So, well, and so you got to, man, Jesus Christ, I'm just sitting there thinking, we're inching closer to Morton getting into the territory. And I'm just thinking that Mullet of Morton might have to take a week vacation at work to just prepare for this. So
I don't know if he works, man, with all the time. I mean, he tweets nonstop. That dude might not have a job.
Okay. Well,
I'm just saying. I mean, that dude tweets all day long, man. I mean, I get home and check
my mentions on
Twitter, and it's him tweeting all day. Him and Wallace Stanfield Lane and at the Eye of Gibson and at James E. Barnett _. Those dudes tweet all day long.
He's a parody Ricky Morton account, so maybe he runs a fake wrestling school in Eastern Tennessee.
What if that's really Ricky Morton?
That would be the greatest rib of all time.
Like, what if that is really Ricky Morton? Because I don't know who he is. I know who a few of the parodies are because they've told me. Shout out to Holy Moly Oli. I won't say who you are, but he sent in a great Ron Wright article to us a few weeks back. So I just want to say that while I'm thinking about it. We thanked him on the BTT episode, but just want to thank him real quick here. So, I mean, I know who some of the parodies are because they've told me, but I don't know who Mullet of Morton is. He hasn't told me. He hasn't sent me anything. So it is something to think about if that really is the real Ricky Morton. But anyway, we got sidetracked there. Anything else about the Gibson promo there, right there, Doc?
No, let's get to the next one.
So we go to the next promo, everyone, and it's Jimmy Golden. Outfit can't be explained. When you think of Jimmy Golden in the ring in his outfit with his blue trunks and just a shit-kicking-looking dude, and Jimmy Golden is in a fedora hat, these big sunglasses, black and white short sleeve shirt with one of those old-school narrow neckties from the 90s that just, yeah, they went in and out of style pretty quick. So, Doc, I'll get your comments on the promo in his outfit in a minute, okay? Let's play it.
Robert Gibson, you know I've got myself a real big reputation of beating up your family, including you. Everybody here in East Tennessee knows that I can do it too, brother. I have beat you before. I beat your brother. You just ask him. I've slapped his face real good before. Your mama, your daddy, the whole family. And I'm going to take care of you Friday night in Knoxville, brother, at that Coliseum at the Volunteer Slam, and I'm going to be going right on up to the main event.
Doc. Go ahead and tell me your thoughts. Start with the outfit, because to be honest with the fans right here can hear the audio, but they can't see the outfit unless they've watched the episode with us. So go ahead.
I honestly don't. This is a momentous occasion on BTT. I'm speechless. I'm going to try, because this is an audio medium, to cobble together my thoughts. I just listened to that promo again. I have no idea what he said, because I'm still mentally visualizing the outfit he's wearing. My only notes for this were, what the fuck? It is ridiculous. He looks like looks like he's trying to dress like a Vato in East LA in 1988. But he's Bunkhouse Buck.
It's so awesome.
It really is, and it's the beauty of territory wrestling, and it's entertaining. I don't know. I didn't really have any thoughts on the content. He's going to beat some people up, but he did something to make himself entertaining. So good job, Jimmy Golden.
Well, here's the thing, man. We're poking fun at it, but I thought it was a good promo. He talked about how he slapped around the rest of Gibson's family members, including Gibson. And he's standing there with this outfit that can't be explained. Like I said, he's got this fedora hat on, which I don't see Jimmy Golden as a fedora hat guy. He's got these big sunglasses on. He's got this black and white short sleeve shirt with the most narrowest of neckties that barely goes past the midsection. And then he cuts his promo, and I never, like, the first time I saw this episode, because I've watched it a few times, I do that with all of them to be prepared for the show. The first time I saw it, and this segment comes up, I'm like, what the fuck? Look at this. This is awesome. And I start popping and laughing my ass off, and I just can't believe how entertaining it is, which it just was so great. And, yeah, you got to see it. Anybody out there who's listening to this, I'm curious what you thought about Golden's outfit as we go forth. But, anyway, let me ask this. Did you see in this make you want to see Jimmy Golden and Robert Gibson fight?
I don't think either one of them has a snowball's chance in hell of winning this tournament, but they're two solid bets in the ring, and I bet they have a good match.
I think I would agree with you on that one. So we go to the next segment, and it's Jim Cornette and Phil Rainey are back, and Cornette is on the phone with Ticketmaster, and boy, he's in a pissy mood as they tell him there are no seats for his mama left. Rainey then moves on with the segment and talks about the 18-man Mountain Battle Royal, which, recall, we said basically has the same rules as kind of like a Royal Rumble that the WWE does nowadays. And Rainey then throws it over to some recaps of Mr. Wonderful and Tim Horner to get into the tournament. They play the promo where Orndorff cuts that great promo where he tells Dixie and Hector that he's tired of listening to that goo-goo and gaga from those fools. They also cut to the match where Orndorff beats Hector and then lays out four different guys with pile drivers. Now, there is no promo here from Mr. Wonderful, which he is the only one that they don't have one for in this
episode. He might have been unavailable working other territories.
Quite possibly. They then move to Tim Horner working a match with Joe Kazana in one of the earliest matches in Smoky Mountain. Doc, I think this is the match where we first saw the slow bridge that Tim Horner does.
That was episode one or two, I think.
It was one of the very first episodes. I want to say episode two, which, God, I mean, we're in 17 now, so think about that.
This is 16.
That's what I meant, 16. And then we get a Tim Horner promo, which I will get your thoughts, and then I will give my thoughts on it. So here we go, Doc. This is Tim Horner talking us into the building for the Volunteer Slam coming up on May 22nd, 1992.
You know, Tim, just in a short while longer, I'm going to be ready to go. I've worn this for a while, and it's off now my neck, and I'm ready to go. You know, I know you got a score to settle with Paul Orndorff, you know. I just ask you one little thing. Save a little bit for me.
You know what this means, Hector?
This means lightning's going to strike, and that's what's going to happen May 22nd at the Volunteer Slam. Lightning is going to strike. Paul Orndorff, you come out here and you run your mouth, you down the people of East Tennessee and Smoky Mountain Wrestling Area. Well, I'm a part of those people. I don't like it one bit, and when the Volunteer Slam comes, I don't care who you beat. You may have beat Hulk Hogan, you may have beat Ric Flair, but you haven't beat White Lightning. And if by chance he gets me down a little bit and my little lightning bolt buddies start doing this, that means lightning's going to strike, and when it does, you're going down.
Doc, go ahead. Tim Horner.
Well, so he's got a he's got a foam lightning bolt, so I'm sure that's going to fly off the shelves. But I'm going to surprise you here.
Okay.
I don't think Horner was that. I mean, we've talked about, obviously, he compares himself to Flair and Hogan, and this puts himself in that camp, slow down. But I don't think Horner's that bad here. I think he's actually firing up. He's defending the people, you know, his people. He's got a little bit of fire to him. I thought maybe it was because he got word that there was a Twitter account that's making fun of his promos, so he thought he needed to do a better job. But I'm going to say that this is not bad at all, and that maybe we need to I didn't feel the need to kick him in the junk over this one. I thought it was okay.
I actually agree. I think the promo was good, and it's not the promo. It's not the words that got me here.
It's that lightning bolt.
He got that stupid looking lightning foam lightning bolt, and he's moving it back and forth like he's doing the Florida State Tomahawk chop and shit.
Right.
And I thought that was like that's what popped me on this. I thought the promo was good actually, because he really was on the money. And did you catch Hector? Hector popped when he started moving the lightning bolt. Like, he broke character. He couldn't take it.
Hector, we like Hector Guerrero, but he's not Gordon Zolie or Bob Caudle over there.
No. And that wasn't his role. He just was more or less telling Horner to save some for him. But I actually thought it was very entertaining and funny. In the when he starts doing the chop with it, Hector pops, and I thought that was great. So that was good. Look, I don't have anything bad to say. Tim Horner, at Mike Skills Horner, at Mike Skills Tim, whatever you are on Twitter. Thank you for your Twitter account. We appreciate it, and I think it's hilarious. And Tim Horner, if you're listening, man, look, man, we like the joke. I hope you don't take any offense by this. You're entertaining. That's all I'll say at this point. Your work in the ring is very good, but we've made fun of your promos. But I think your promo here was pretty good. So as they fade away from this segment, Cornette says he's got the ticket situation figured out because he doesn't want his mama sitting with all the rednecks.
I don't blame him.
And that was that. And then we go to next segment, which is a Bob Caudle promo again. And this is the first promo that we covered where Dr. Tom and Wallace Stanfield Lane promo with the belts for the first time. It's a repeat. No need to recap. But this was like right after they won the belts and they cut that promo. Doc, did you have anything to add before I go to the closing segment?
Now let's get to the close, bruh.
All right, so we got Cornette and Rainey closing segment. I'll play the promo here and let you know what we think, and you can give your thoughts, Doc.
Well, wrestling fans, has been quite a program, and it will be quite a night on Friday night here in Knoxville, Tennessee, for the Volunteer Slam. And don't forget, tickets for this big night of wrestling are on sale at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum and at all Ticketmaster locations. Your special ring announcers will be Will Hite and Wall from WIBK's Great Day program. And for the first 1,000 kids, Knox the Fox will give you a free picture. All kids under 12 admitted for only 43 cents. Quite a big match here.
Will Hite and Wally's Hot Shots from WIVK Radio. It sounds like a roofing company or something, Will Hite and Wall. But I tell you something, it is going to be quite a night. This Friday night in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, the first round matches we've examined today are only the beginning. You're going to see two semifinal matches, then the finals, plus My Heavenly Bodies defending the Smoky Mountain Tag Team title against the Party Patrol, Johnny and Davey Rich, and we're going to thump them just like yesterday's garbage. It's going to be 9 matches all together, wrestling the way it used to be and wrestling the way I like it this Friday night in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. So if you're in Knoxville, you can't afford to miss it. If you're up there in West Virginia, if you're in Eastern Kentucky, over North Carolina, wherever around the Smoky Mountain wrestling area, get a plane, get a train, get a bus, a car, a boat, ride a horse, get a mule, I don't care. Hook up a sheep to a wagon, but somewhere or another, be in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum this Friday night. You can't afford to miss it.
All right, Doc, thoughts of promos, closing promo? Because remember, this is, we call it today, the go-home show before a pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Whenever we were to watch the WWE product. Thoughts on the go-home show before Smoky Mountain Wrestling's first big event? Because, and I want to put that in perspective, Doc. This is their first big event that they've done. So thoughts on the promo and the go-home.
Oh, you can tell Corny's got his ass on the line here, and he's working because of this. Is, you know, you got to think about it. This is months and months and months and months and months before they ever even ran their first card. They taped at late 91, and they didn't air till early 92. This is May of 92 that they're running this big show. This is his dream come true. So he's taking that last segment to really, really try to make that last plea to come out there, and it's important, and you got to be there. So it's a lesson in old school talking him in the building.
Well, I mean, but you're saying his ass was on the line. I mean, he didn't have his own personal money in it at this point, though.
No, but he's the boss.
Oh, I agree. And you got to imagine, as the promoter and the man of this, and this being his venture, he felt like, I'm sure he had a lot of pressure on himself to want to make sure this thing went off very, very well. And they had a nice house.
Yep.
All right, Doc, this is kind of weird to give out government checks here. I mean, disability checks, isn't it?
No.
No?
We did it for the last show that was a review show, and I killed it, and I'm killed this one too.
Okay, so let's give out some disability checks, Doc. Where are you at on the disability checks?
Well, okay, so we talked about the because it's people in promos to get in the building. The people who stood out for Landale was stellar. I don't know if I want to go see Golden Dress like that, but he popped me on it, so we'll give him good marks for that. I'm going to say that Tim Horner was trying to talk me in the building. Jesus Christ, cats must be chasing pugs today, but Horner did a good job. And then obviously Corny is sprinkled throughout, just really laying it on thick and working overtime. At the end, almost bumps Rainey off the screen so he can get his shit in, and it good shit. So those are the people. Dirty White Boy was in the middle, and everybody else was sort of a meh. I will give this better marks than we did for the review show a few weeks back, but I'm going to say it's going to be a 4.8.
4.8. Wow. Okay.
But I'm going to tell you this. If this is your first time listening, I'm being real hard on this one, but we got a battle royal next week, so I'm excited because I'm a guy who likes battle royals for some strange reason. So this is just a little deviation. It's a little bump in the road, and I'm ready. You know, we're going to review the slam down the road, and I'm looking forward to that as well as we get our first champion. But I just don't like the format of these shows where they either review or preview like that. Never have.
Yeah, it's a very different type of show. So it is what it is. I actually give it a 6. I thought that, I don't know, the whole Jimmy Golden thing popped me. Cornette closing segment, I thought that was a great way to send it home. You know, Cornette's promo against the Heavenly Bodies midway through the show, I thought that was a real good one too. When, you know, he talked about them scraping the Party Patrol off of Highway 75, it would be the Highway Patrol. So I gave it a 6, which then leads, Doc, into a new segment that we're now going to give a try for the Smoky Mountain Show. So I got to give credit to one of our Facebook listeners by the name of Shard Johnson. Shard Johnson actually messaged me a few weeks back.
Did you say Shart? Did you say Shart?
Shard. I think
you know what a shart. You know what a shart is, don't you?
No.
It's when you go to fart, but you actually shit.
Okay.
It's a shart.
Thanks for giving me worthless information for my brain. Shart is the Shard Johnson, who is a big fan of the BTT flagship show and the Smoky Mountain show. And Shard sent me a message on Facebook and just told me how much that they love the Smoky Mountain show, and we should add a new segment called the Government Cheese segment. And the Government Cheese segment would be the either greatest or worst promo, depending on what we choose each week. So why not? Let's roll it out for this week, the Government Cheese segment. I would have to say the Government Cheese segment, strangely, I'm going to give it to Jimmy Golden because of his outfit. Not that his promo was the best of the episode, but the outfit along with him delivering the message, I thought would get the Government Cheese segment. Doc, you got any prospects for your Government Cheese segment of the week?
Oh, I'm going to give mine to Buddy Landale. I thought he caught a hell of a promo and packed a lot in there and popped me laughing, but also said he was going to kick some ass. So I'm going to go with Buddy Landale.
Cool. And just to clarify, the Government Cheese Award of the Week, it can go to something bad or something great. So It is what it is. It doesn't necessarily mean that you thought it was great or the best thing on the episode, because it could be the worst thing on the episode. But anyway, that's a first. Actually, I'm kind of shocked neither one of us went with Cornette, because we always seem to love Cornette's promo. So, but anyway. All right, Doc. So let's get to some plugs. First off, if you are a first-time listener to the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast, we appreciate you tuning in. Subscribe to us however you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. My preferred way is Podcast Addict. I really love it. I'm an Android user. But if you're an iTunes user, hey, keep subscribe, keep downloading from iTunes, and please throw us some 5-star reviews. We could use more 5-star reviews. I believe we've got 31 right now, and it just would help if we got more. It seems that people who listen to us love us, but we need to get more people on board the BTT and Smoky Mountain Wrestling train. If you haven't already done so, follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. We definitely would appreciate it. I'm also appreciative to everyone who retweets and sends us stuff for the shows. Martin Howell on Twitter, he sent me a bunch of recent PWI articles over the last few weeks. I am going to post those on the Facebook page and on Twitter as soon as we get past the Volunteer Slam, because a lot of it is pertaining to the results of the Volunteer Slam, and I just don't want to spoil things for the good fans that are listening to us. And if you would like to support the show, please do so. There are a number of ways. First, just go to mikemills.podbean.com, and there are a couple of links at the top. One of them is a PayPal donation link. We really would appreciate it if you throw us a few bucks. And if you don't, no biggie. The show's free. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And then also, you can go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. We got a really, really nice looking Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Literally, it says Wrestling Podcast Tee up there. Everyone who's bought it says they love the quality that Pro Wrestling Tees gives them, and they love the design of the shirt. It's a black shirt. Really, really cool design. I've got one, and I got to say, I wear it all the time, and people always ask me, hey, man, what is that? So, hey, please support the show. Go get your either a Book in the Territory or Pro Wrestling Podcast T-shirt. Doc, did I miss anything with this week's show?
No.
All right. So with that said, I'm going to get us out of here. Doc gave it 4.8 disability checks. I gave it 6 disability checks. My government cheese segment of the week was Jimmy Golden's promo, pretty much due to his outfit. So you're going to have to watch it on YouTube if you haven't done so. And then we had the Buddy, and Doc gave Buddy Landell his government cheese segment of the week. Other than that, for Mike and Doc in our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast review show, which this week, again, was from episode 16, May 16th, 1992. For Mike and Doc, you know what we always say when we get out of here. Book it, bitch.